Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
And welcome to the Compass Catholic Podcast.
And thank you for joining us for Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. At Compass Catholic, our goal is to help you remove all the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how big, no matter how small the debt may be. And we do this using biblical principles. That's right. How you handle your finances are laid out in the Bible. And we teach these principles as part of our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. To learn more, simply go to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, here we are, the second week of January. And if you haven't yet, today would be a great day to make that New Year's resolution. Right, John?
Well, that's true, but January the 1st is really just an arbitrary date. And, you know, many other cultures start their new year at different times of the year. But, you know, I think that the point that you're trying to make here is that change is good at any point in time. Most people's New Year's resolutions don't last for 2 weeks anyway. By this time in the month, they're out the window.
They forgot what they were.
That's it. You know, so if you've already broken all the resolutions that you just made a couple of weeks ago, let's get serious and focus on just one or two resolutions that maybe you can keep for at least the next 3 to 6 months.
I think some of the most common resolutions are staying fit or getting healthy or going to exercise on a regular basis or joining a gym or something along those lines. People always make a resolution to lose weight. I mean, that's kind of everybody in the world. At least 90% of the people do that. And another one people make often is to get my finances in order.
Now you're talking my language. You know, even though many people don't make formal resolutions, it's always a good time to evaluate your life, especially if the evaluation takes into account how you're living your faith as it relates to your resolution. One suggestion for the new year is to make a resolution to follow God's call and get your finances in order in a way that answers God. I know some of you out there are saying, what do you mean, money and God? That's like oil and water, right? And the answer is, no, it's not. God is totally involved in our finances because everything that we have is a blessing from Him. And in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, we hear, you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth.
You know, so many times our old selves, as it says in that verse, is the way we're such slaves to all the consumerism that our society throws at us. I mean, every time you turn around, there's a commercial on for you to buy something else so you'll finally be happy. Yet once we learn how to manage money God's way, we can become good and faithful stewards of all God's blessings, and it renews our spirit when that happens.
One of the best ways to get your finances in order is to understand that God plays a role in your finances. And one day, you're going to be held accountable to Him for how you handled what He's given you.
So while many resolutions come and go, if you truly make a resolution that's God-centered and wrapped in prayer, it's much easier to maintain the strength to keep that resolution. So with that in mind, we have some ideas to help you stick to your financial resolutions for the long term. So the first one, John, is what?
Well, I think the first one is to try concentrating on one, just one, really important thing that you want to accomplish. You know, if you set a whole bunch of resolutions, it's really easy to lose focus and become frustrated. But if you're just focused on tackling one thing in your life that bothers you the most, you're going to have the resolve that helps to fix that problem. You're just focused on one. You don't have to focus on 47 other things. You're only focused on one. I'm going to get my money in order. Or I'm going to lose weight so I won't be on a seafood diet where I see something and eat it. It's whatever you decide, but let's focus on just one and do it, and do it well.
And the other thing that goes along with that focusing on one thing is that you need to define the reason why you want to make the change. You know, if you're making the change or making that resolution because somebody's nagging at you, it's probably not going to work. Pressure from others or because you think you should won't motivate you for very long. So the change needs to be driven by a deep desire in your own heart to make the change.
Just because your spouse wants you to do something doesn't make it a great resolution. And don't even ask your spouse if you should or you shouldn't, because you already know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to justify it in your own heart, and that's the important thing. You need to have a desire, a deep desire, to please God.
You know, the next thing is to make sure that whatever resolution it is that you're making is actually achievable. You know, it's easy to get carried away and have all kinds of pipe dreams and rainbows and unicorns dancing in the distance. But if it's not something that you can actually achieve, it's just a pipe dream. So if your resolution is to save $500 a month and you're barely making ends meet each month, well, that $500 to save a month probably isn't a very realistic goal. So you need to cut it back and make it something that you can actually achieve. And by making small steps and being faithful to all those small steps, you're going to significantly improve your likelihood of success.
So, Evelyn, I'm one of those that live paycheck to paycheck. How do I set a number on how much I should save every month? Do I look at what I'm spending my money on now and make sacrifices?
Definitely. You have to start with where you are now, because you can't just pull, you're not going to be able to pull money out of the air. So maybe you're having lunch out, or maybe you're stopping for a smoothie on the way home from work, or, you know, I don't, there's any number of ways that people waste $5 or $10. You know, how many people do we know just in our circle of friends over the years who have gone on one of those extreme diets where they've either had some kind of a surgery or they've gone on some kind of a weird diet where all they eat is grapes or something, you know, something weird like that. And inevitably, 3, 4, 5 years later, they've all gained the weight back because they didn't change their basic lifestyle.
You're right, Evelyn. It all comes down to changing habits, changing lifestyle.
Well, and people do that with their money. You know, they may get to the point where they can pay off a credit card, but then they congratulate themselves for paying off their credit card,
right.
And they reward themselves
right.
by going out to spend $500 on dinner or taking a weekend away or something.
Or they get a bonus and they said, oh, we should spend this.
Yeah, there you go. So it's all about making that lifestyle change, not just doing something for the short term.
We're talking about this, and if you just joined in, you're thinking, why are you talking about resolutions? New Year's has already passed. Well, we're talking about resolutions because we figure that 90% of the population has already forgot their resolutions. They've lost track of what they were supposed to do. They've broken every single one of them. And now we want you to focus on just one thing that's going to change your life this year. We want you to make your resolution a part of a long-term goal. If you've decided to pay off debt, you know, tie that to your long-term goal of putting yourself into a position maybe that you're going to buy a house, or maybe you're going to be able to pay that house off in the next 10 years. How would that sound?
Or maybe you want to save for retirement or save to send the kids to college. So whatever it is, your immediate resolution should be a first step toward a bigger goal.
So you want to define and understand the long-term goal and keep that picture in mind as you make little steps. And, you know, keep that picture in mind. You know, I think that's key. And one thing that you could do is maybe find a picture. I mean, seriously, find a picture, a photograph or something that you can post up on your bathroom mirror or put on the refrigerator or someplace where you're going to see it all the time.
The wallpaper for your phone.
Exactly. That reminds you of what your goal is. And you need to be really specific about that goal. You have to define exactly what it looks like. You can't just say, well, I'm going to manage my money better. That's really way too vague. You don't have a roadmap for what that's going to look like. You don't know how to define success. Oh, I'm going to manage my money better. The change that you want to make needs to be concrete, something that is well defined and measurable.
And actionable.
Actionable. That's a good one, Evelyn. Thank you. Thank you. A well-defined goal might sound like, I want to save $1,000 for an emergency fund by March 30th, 2019. That's a concrete goal. You know the amount and the time frame so you can measure your progress. Now, maybe March is too soon to have that goal. Maybe it needs to be June the 1st or September the 1st. You know, I don't know what your financial situation is, but that's the type of defined or definition that you have to create as you create your goal.
My challenge has always been making two or three New Year's resolutions and accomplishing absolutely none of them. But then once we started to focus in on one, really setting a priority, we were able to reach a goal of saving X amount of money each and every month. So why don't you really pick one and focus in on it and strive to accomplish it each and every month? This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible shows us are the best ways to handle money. You can learn more at compasscatholic.org. Well, today, John and Evelyn Bean are helping us focus in on our New Year's resolution. So, Evelyn, let's say the goal is to save $1,000 by the end of 2019. Walk me through, how do I do it?
So if your goal is to save $1,000 by the end of the year, you have about 50 weeks to meet your goal. That means every week you need to save about $20. And you need to figure out how you're going to save that $20 every week. Are you going to quit eating lunch at a restaurant? Are you going to stop using the vending machines at work? Maybe you're going to go to a carpool to get back and forth to work or avoid the toll roads. By making the small daily choices, you can concentrate on the long-term goal.
Every single day, there should be something simple and small that you do to move towards your goal. And you make sure that you know what those steps are, and then you take them over and over and over again. For example, saving $20 a week, your daily step might be to take your coffee from home to work instead of stopping at the fancy coffee store each morning. Or maybe you quit using a trip to the mall as entertainment when you're bored. Because if you go to the mall, you're probably going to buy something.
You know, if you truly want a resolution to succeed, the best way to succeed is to take charge of the situations that you're in control of and stay away from the situations that you can't control. And just as a reminder, if you're married, you and your spouse need to work together about the changes you want to see in your finances. You don't do it alone if you're married.
Automate as much as you can. If your resolution is financial, automate it. Make the savings automatic. Sign up with your bank or financial institution to automatically deduct the money and have it directed to the account where you want it to go.
You know, the other thing that helps you stay focused on these resolutions is to keep checking on your progress. Maybe little mini milestones that you can check on as frequently as weekly or monthly. The whole point is to make sure that you're achieving success and seeing success and using that small success as evidence that you're making positive progress toward a longer-term goal.
And don't reward yourself by doing something that's going to undermine your resolution. You know, it's fine to celebrate success. Probably not after the first week.
I saved $20. Let's go out and spend $60 on dinner.
I don't think that's going to work.
No, that's not going to work. No, not a good idea.
Just make sure that your celebration doesn't undermine your goal. You know, if you've achieved a savings goal, then you can celebrate that. You know, when we were going through our the resurrection of our financial lives,
our tribulations,
having a cupcake for dinner as a celebration, as a dessert, that's a celebration.
No, what we
if
used
it
to,
was extra special, we'd put a candle in it.
What did you do to celebrate?
No, we used to go down to Winter Park,
okay,
and take a walk and have an ice cream cone.
Winter Park is a local, nearby community that has a nice little downtown area with a park, and you can
walk around.
It's a nice
little area to shop, to stroll through, and we had a nice, the cheap ice cream cone, you know, not the big fancy one with a waffle that's homemade. It was a little cheap off-the-shelf ice cream cone with one scoop.
Well, let me ask you this. As you were going through your trials and tribulations and you started to turn it around and you were celebrating victories, did you find it to be, I hate to use the word, a game, but it was like a motivation for you every month that you wanted to see if we can make it 5 months in a row that we were saving money?
I don't think we ever got to the gaming stage. I think we were more in survival mode for so long that it just got to be more survival than anything else, which doesn't sound like fun, but that's kind of where our mindset was.
Maybe that's the word. It's fun. It was fun, though, when you saw you're achieving your goals.
Oh, yeah. What was really fun is getting each of those credit cards paid off and then getting the cars paid off and then getting the mortgage paid off. I mean, I don't think anybody that has any sort of debt can understand the feeling of freedom and joy.
Satisfaction
when you don't have any
contentment.
You just don't have any debt to anyone. I mean, it's such a feeling that if you're in debt, you just can't conceive of being out of debt, but it is worth every bit of struggle
we
did.
The big one for us is when the credit card comes in, we know it's going to get paid off that month.
Yeah,
that
you
it's
don't
not
have to
gonna
worry
keep
about it.
Yeah, interest isn't going to keep accumulating.
Where you don't have to play the, I was reading an online article about a couple that was in financial problems. And basically the guy was saying he plays a game, talking about games, every month to figure out what he can pay and how he can move money around to satisfy the minimum on all these debts they have. And I mean, they made some really, really bad errors. You know, that whole thing, just there's no stress involved anymore. Yeah. It just, it comes in, it gets paid, it's done. Yeah. It's very black and white.
Well, and being part of a financial ministry for as long as we've been a part of it, you know, in those early years, we would hear people talk about, well, I paid off my mortgage and it's so great. Even though we were around these people all the time, there was no way that we could even begin to conceive the relief, the satisfaction, the contentment, you know, you name the word, that we actually felt when we were able to do that ourselves. And I think that's a big thing.
It's a blessing. It's a big blessing. So speaking of blessings, one of the things we encourage people to do since we're financial and a ministry is to use the Bible for resolutions. And I read someplace about a church that encouraged each of its members to use a specific Bible verse for the year to help them stay focused and prayerful and serious about the changes they want to make in their lives. So it's a great idea to concentrate on a change that needs to be made while at the same time increasing your prayer life and your time with God. So if your New Year's resolutions concerns financial changes, we have some Bible verses for you to use.
If you're trying to get out of debt, contemplate Proverbs 22:7, which reads, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender." You know, if you're in debt and you don't think you're a slave, just try missing a payment. You'll be surprised how fast your interest rate is increased and the late fees are added onto your account. As the borrower, you are enslaved to the lender's terms and conditions. You know, you might not have looked at your credit card recently. I looked at one that we have. When you go into default, which means you miss a payment.
And we weren't going into default. You were just reading the terms and conditions.
Well, I was just looking at I was looking at the paperwork. We typically pay our credit card bills the day that we receive them. So they don't linger. If you go into default on this particular credit card, the interest rate jumps to 29.33%.
So if you want to get motivated to pay off your debt, do two things. Number one, figure out how long it's going to be until you're debt-free. And number two, figure out how much you're paying in interest, how much money you're throwing out the window every month just making interest payments.
That should give you some motivation, because there's a lot of interest that goes out on those credit cards.
So let's say your goal is to pay off a specific loan. What's the verse for that one?
Well, I think Sirach 20:11 would be a good one for that. And that reads, "There is one who buys much for little, but pays for it seven times over." You know, depending on your interest rate, you can pay more than twice as much for an item by only making the minimum payment on the credit card. You know, if figure out the amount that you're wasting on interest charges on a specific item, are you guilty of paying for something seven times over?
You know, this is especially true, I think, with big purchases like a house or a car. Because when you make those minimum payments and live out your mortgage for the life of the mortgage, you end up at least paying twice what the house was originally purchased for, correct?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that it's quite that much with today's interest rates around, you know, 3% or 3.5%, 4%. But, you know, we've had some mortgage rates. I remember one in particular that was 9.375%. And we were tickled to death to have it because most of the rates were 11 or 12%. And you could very easily pay 3 to 4 times the value of the house if you let that mortgage run for 30 years. So your interest charges, they just add up so fast.
Let's talk about saving. What's the verse for saving? If our resolution is to save more money, which verse do we want to contemplate?
Well, Proverbs 21:20 tells us that precious treasure and oil are in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes them. So spending first means there will never be enough money to save, and unexpected expenses will cause us to go into debt. So save for emergency. That keeps you from using those plastic cards when emergencies come up, like an appliance repair or a medical bill.
And if your resolution is to quit overspending, try considering 1 Timothy 6:10, which says, "For the love of money is the root of all evils." And when we overspend, it can be due to using money as a form of gratification. So are you wasting money, or are you using it wisely?
One of the most helpful ways we've seen people change their finances is by navigating your finances God's way Bible study from Compass Catholic Ministries. If you don't know if your church has a study, contact us. Or if you want to start a Compass study at your church, contact us.
So the email is info@compasscatholic.org.
Remember, the Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study is available in both English and Spanish. And our prayer for you this year is that you eliminate financial burdens in your life and honor God in the way you spend, save, and manage your finances.
Let me give you that email address again if you're interested in our Bible study. The email is info@compasscatholic.org. That's info@compasscatholic.org. And we have time to answer a couple of our emails. And this first one, a number of us can relate to. "John and Evelyn, my brother is investing in something that I would consider to be a get-rich-quick scheme. What advice would you recommend I give him?"
You know, it's hard to watch somebody make a mistake or, you know, watch a train wreck start to occur. So it's really important for you to understand exactly what your brother's doing. I think that what he's saying may not be quite exactly what you're doing, so you need to understand it. And then I think the best way to ask people to rethink something that you think may be a mistake is, instead of peppering them with objections, just ask questions. Things like, well, instead of saying, "I don't think your money's going to be safe, I think you're going to lose your money," ask, "Well, what's the risk of you being successful or you losing money in this endeavor?"
Yeah, I absolutely agree that if you just start peppering the person with objections, it's going to cause problems. What you really want to do is get them to think about things that maybe they haven't thought about, or at least the same things that you're thinking about, so that you can actually address the issues. Is this going to be a safe investment? What happens if the market turns down? What's going to happen to your investment? If the market turns down and the investment goes down, what's that going to do to your overall ability to continue to live the lifestyle that you currently have? Or, you know, those types of questions are the kinds of questions that will help.
Yeah, I think anytime you try to object to what somebody's doing, they just kind of stick their feet in the mud and decide not to move forward, and you just make them more adamant about doing it if you're very vocal about your objection to them doing it.
Yeah.
So it's best to come at it from, use a soft stick, not a large stick.
And here's another one for you, John and Evelyn. My wife and I are in a mess. We have lost at least $20,000 each year in income. We've been using our overdraft as a net to keep things going, but it's about to break. I don't want to damage our credit, but at this point, we cannot keep up with all the credit card bills, let alone our regular living expenses. What should we do?
So if you've lost $20,000 a year in your income, you should cut your budget by the same amount, or maybe even a little bit more, so that you're not living out there a lifestyle that you've had in the past, but you don't have the income to support. Keep track of all your expenses on a daily basis. We've had to live with a cut in our budget, even greater than $20,000. And it's not an easy thing to do. We appreciate that. But you are going to have to make some changes in your lifestyle.
And believe me, it's a tough road to hoe. But once you start making progress, it's a blessing. And it will be a blessing to you in the future. So don't get discouraged.
And if you'd like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, send them your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. Should we use your question on the air, we'll be glad to send you a copy of their book, Your Money Counts. It's a biblical guide to earning, spending, saving, and getting out of debt. Again, the email address, ask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Thanks for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.